Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
But now that doesn't even apply. Like, they wouldn't be seated like that. Like, so, I don't know. I'm also at the point where I would like us to really focus more on getting our products right than it is just this constant search for more money. But maybe this is where, as someone who tends to have capitalistic views, like, I'm just going to always be outnumbered.
Well, it's like, it's all the realignment, right? It's like they don't care. They don't care about the rivalries. It's collateral damage. They don't care, right?
I will be very fascinated to see if the NFL gets its way, which I think most people believe it will, and that they're going to be able to re-up their TV deals. I will be very curious to see when the SEC and the Big Ten try to early re-up, what does it look like? I assume they're going to be fine. But there's already a bunch of market analysts saying they've already overpaid for the NBA. Mm-hmm. They're probably, therefore, going to overpay for the NFL because the NFL's mad that they overpaid for the NBA, so therefore they will take... They will get their revenge. I think I would rather have college football than NBA. I think it's been proven that it is a bigger sport by a wide factor, but I also know that you can't argue with the inventory that the NBA provides and the number of games. All right, let's get into the NFL draft. Let's take a look at some of the things that Tim is looking at. We'll also preview, because the draft starts with Georgia's team at number 2. We'll talk about it next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more.
Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
All right, boys. Thursday night, we will have the NFL draft. I love the NFL draft. I want to be very clear on that. I'd mentioned at the start of the show that I've checked out on, I think I've hit my saturation point on consuming information, but I want to be very clear. I love it. I will probably have a cocktail in my hand, steak night on Thursday. I love the NFL draft. We do have an interesting draft in that we know who the number one pick is. We don't really know who the number two pick is going to be.
We definitely don't know that. That is all over the place.
All right, here's my thought. And George, you chime in because this is the team that you follow and you are as well-versed as anyone I know on the Jets. My gut instinct says no matter what the GM tells me, the fact that they canceled the David Bailey interview right. In-house. Now, their explanation is they went to Lubbock, they feel good, all that. The fact that that happened, I can't get it out of my head. My gut says, and Tim, you tell me what the odds say, I might look at Arvel Reese at number two.
So here's what's really been going on, just from a betting odds standpoint. So let me preface it this way. For those who are not super locked in on how draft markets work, they move like leaves in the wind. It
yes.
moves very quickly. Any nibble of information, it moves. Boom, 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 boom. So let's go back to last week. I think after you and I did the Tuesday show, maybe it was Wednesday or Thursday, McShay had his podcast, Todd McShay had his podcast, and he had Albert Breer on. Two of the more, I would say, trustworthy draft guys from a reporting standpoint. They both came to the conclusion that it was going to be David Bailey at number two. This was last week. So the market goes from David Bailey being an underdog to being a pretty decent-sized favorite. This is last Thursday. I mentioned this earlier in the show. I texted a buddy of mine who covers the Jets, and he was like, I'm not buying it. He's like, I still think it's Arvel Reese. This weekend starts rolling around. More people start to kind of lean in on that it's Arvel Reese. He's going to be the guy. The market shifts because of that. Arvel Reese is now had become like a minus 260 favorite. Then this morning rolls around. Peter Schrager, who you already mentioned, when he has Jets information, it's usually pretty good. He said, I'm not buying the Arvel Reese to the Jets. I'm going to mock David Bailey. Tony Pauline, longtime draft analyst, just put out that he has been told that it's going to be David Bailey at number two. And the last piece of information, this comes from Todd McShay. After releasing my Monday Morning Buzz column in which I predicted Reese over Bailey, I was told by a league source to revisit that intel. I'm now of the belief that New York views Bailey, a proven pass rusher, as a safer pick than Reese, despite Reese being a better talent and having a floor of a damn good off-ball linebacker who can rush at times. So yes, if Bailey is the pick at two, I took the bait for 48 hours. I get the, quote, flip-flopping accusations, but I'm not here to be stubborn. I'm here to keep you up to date. One final thing I'll say. This is Todd McShay. Anyone who tells you that they know for sure whether it's Bailey or Reese at number two isn't being honest. While more folks I've spoken to in the past 24 hours seem to think it's Bailey, the new GM, what is it, Darren Moogie?
Moogie.
And the Jets have done a masterful job of keeping the pick close to the vest. So that was a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo saying, I don't know, I thought it was going to be Bailey, then I switched it to Reese, now I'm back to Bailey, and I'm just going to put this final sentence saying, no one knows.
All right, George, I'll ask you this. Who do you think Aaron Glenn would like better?
Bailey.
I think you're right, because the same knocks on Bailey were the same knocks on Aiden Hutchinson.
Right.
And he loved that guy. And turns out he was right. Guy's a very good football player. And his concerns about the run were neither here nor there. And basically he was impactful from day one. I know.
I think that's what people also need to be kind of clear. But like, this isn't a pick between someone that clearly has this crazy high ceiling and crazy high floor versus this guy who is just going to be a bust. I think most people expect both of these players to be very good NFL players.
So here was the other thought that I had. So over at DraftKings, Bailey's plus 140 to go three. Arvell's plus 210 to go three.
So
now, where you could get screwed is if they go tackle.
Or they trade out.
Or if the reporting from yesterday is somewhat accurate, that they are seriously considering Jeremiah Love at three.
Because I always fall back to, unless it is a quarterback, you can usually just go with, like, who's got the better grade?
Right.
And more times than not, it works that way. Are the Cardinals... like...
the Cardinals...
like, sometimes you can just be in, like, the spot, like, all right, they took Bailey, we'll take Arvell. Cool. Moving on.
All right, so I'll read you a couple things. Once again, it's Lion season. I started the show this way, so... take that for what you will. Tony Pauline. The Cardinals, specifically general manager Monty Ossenfort, want David Bailey. If he's not available, Arizona will work hard to move the pick. They could potentially move the selection before the draft even begins. If Bailey is unavailable and they can't move the pick, I'm told, this is Tony Pauline, it's unlikely they will select Arvell Reese, as they view him as a hybrid defender versus a pure edge rusher, and the Cardinals have bombed on high.
Well,
right
as soon as you're reading Pauline, my first thought is they're
Isaiah
the ones that
bid on Isaiah. I still
have some Isaiah Simmons stock.
I love
like
Isaiah
that.
Simmons so much.
I got plenty of it.
Awesome. Here's what McShay said.
Loved him.
Arizona playing at three. Priority number one remains trading back, getting extra draft capital to later move up for Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson, and finding an offensive tackle at a better value a handful of spots down the board. But if no reasonable trade presents itself, I could see them sticking and picking, or possibly even moving up to number two. If no reasonable trade presents itself, I've heard, this is Todd McShay, from multiple sources that ownership wants Jeremiah Love. Front office wants Bailey.
Isn't that just typical? Like, as much as we get to clown on the Jets, the Cardinals have not exactly been a stellar franchise.
No.
As a Notre Dame fan and a fan of Jeremiah Love, who I think is one of the best pure talents that has ever walked in South Bend, Indiana, I do not want him going to Arizona. And by the way, don't they have like legit money wrapped up in running backs right now?
Like James, so they have Connor back from injury.
I don't know what his contract looks like. It's him and Michael Carter.
Who had a pretty good year last year, right?
Oh,
he was decent.
No, they signed Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah, yeah, I thought they
I mean, he's kind of proven himself to be a secondary back.
For sure. I mean, and you're not going to pass up Jeremiah Love in theory because of those two backs, but kind of feels like the Raiders a year ago. It's like, cool, you got Ashton Jeanty at six. You don't have an offensive line. He's not going to fare well. But there's also going to come a point on Thursday where somebody, whether it be, because now the latest buzz is that the Titans don't want Love.
I could buy that. I don't think that's also a reflection of Jeremiah Love.
No, I don't either.
I think they were one of the first, because I was woke on this about a month or two ago when it started to get a lot of people out of Nashville that were reporting, hey, if Love is there, they will take him. And I'm convinced that they were, because they know the roster. Like, if anyone needs to trade back, it's the Titans. Like, they need to fill a lot of holes.
You want to hear my crazy long shot for Thursday night?
All right.
So Jeremiah Love, let's say it goes Mendoza 1, Bailey 2.
Okay.
It seems like they're not going to pick. Let's just say that Love is available at 5.
Okay.
For the Giants. Okay. Love's on the board. They are apparently fascinated by Caleb Downs, they like, but 5 might be a little high for him. They really like Jordan Tyson, reportedly. The Giants, that is. Let's just say, for whatever reason, Love's on the board at 6. Would it shock you if Bleep Them Picks GM Les Snead said, hold on, Jeremiah Love's available at 6. We have the 13th pick, and the Rams just say, whatever. Who needs first-round picks? We'll trade next year's first-round pick and 13 to the Browns, and we'll go get Jeremiah Love. And then we'll trade Kyren Williams for a fourth-round pick or a third-round pick later on in the process.
So I'm convinced if they do a Bleep Them Picks, I'm convinced they're going up and getting a receiver.
Yeah, because Mekhi Lemon has been mocked to them at 13, but he doesn't really fit the style of receiver
Correct.
That they love. Like Carnell Tate, if they could go get Carnell Tate at 6.
They want receivers that can block. I'm not saying I can envision the scenario you're talking about. I have a tough time saying that they move up. That they move up to get Jeremiah. I can see where they move up to whatever, like 7 or 8 to try and get Tate. Because I do think what the Giants are going to do is whoever they have deemed as the best defender, they're going to take him at 5. And then at 10, they're going to take whatever the best receiver is. That's what I think they're doing.
Are you buying this Jordan Tyson?
Yes, I am. I think they very much
so
like him.
So my question for you as a Giants fan, I think the Giants are very intriguing because at 5, I think they will have everyone that they want available. Whether it be Sonny Styles, apparently they've cooled on him, whether it be Caleb Downs, Jordan Tyson, or Carnell Tate. I think everyone will be available at 5. It seems like Tyson and Tate will be gone by 10. But Downs might be available at 10. What if they pulled the trigger and picked Tyson at 5 and then rolled the dice and hoped that Caleb Downs is available at 10? Because it doesn't feel like...
I think you're forgetting one aspect of this.
Okay.
I believe that Harbaugh's in control.
I think Dane Brugler confirmed that. He is making the picks.
I think if they get to the... I think they're going to take best defender at 5.
So what did you and think of think yesterday, they, all of the stuff saying that they don't like Sonny Styles? Do you think that's a smokescreen?
Not really. I think that Styles... he's clearly a freak. But I think there are some tweener questions.
Right.
So
Well, I think that's a unique aspect of this year's draft, which is Jeremiah Love, Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles. If you want to throw Arvell Reese in there too, those are all thought to be probably pound for pound the best players in this draft, but their positional value is not that high, right? So if you look at Daniel Jeremiah's top five players, number one, Mendoza, number two, Love, number three, Styles, number four, Bailey, number five, Reese. And then he has Caleb Downs. Where does he have Caleb Downs? He has him at eight. So it just, it's a unique year because Francis Maui-Noah, the tackle from Miami, he's like 10th or 11th on most people's boards, whether it be Dane Brugler, Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, etc. But he's at a primo position of offensive tackle.
So the reason why I say, remember the Ravens aspect of it.
Yep.
I think if they get to a spot at 10 and they don't like what they have, I do think that they will say, all right, there's enough players that I think other people are going to like, and they're going to try to trade down and pick up another pick. Because I think one thing that is obvious is since Harbaugh has gotten in there, he is trying to flip the roster and get people that he wants in. And if you give him the chance at another first round pick, or maybe it's even another super high second, like I don't know what the price would be to move, because it depends on who's trying to move up and from where.
Right.
I could see them moving back and, you know, maybe taking one of the late first or mid first receivers like Cooper. Because like, I do think they're going to come out of the first round with, like, I don't love this mindset, but I get what the idea. They are coming out of this and trying to get an elite defender, and they're going to try to get another receiver for their quarterback.
So I have a hard time. So now that I've been kind of indoctrinated in where I work, which is gambling wise, I remove my opinion, right? I'm like, I don't care. My opinion doesn't mean anything. It's all about what I'm reading, etc. Inserting my opinion, I think Casey Concepcion is going to be awesome.
I like him a lot too. I like him in the same category that I loved.
And I'm not saying he should be a top 10 pick.
I got super annoyed when he kept falling and everybody kept passing on him. Ladd McConkey. Like, I was just convinced Ladd McConkey is going to be a good NFL receiver. Is he a pure number one? No, but like, he has been exactly what I thought, which is be a really damn good receiver. And I think the same thing as Concepcion.
All right, so this could be a segment where this could age poorly. Who do you think of the notable names is going to be a bust? Actually, real before I answer that, the buzz yesterday is that Jermaine McCoy is going to potentially drop out of the first round. Apparently, his injury issue is significant.
That wouldn't shock. Like, in the end, like, if you're not clearing the medicals,
Will Johnson.
Let's set aside injury. Like, if
somebody
somebody that healthy and just didn't work.
Correct. Yeah.
I think I've been draft incepted. I think the scouts have gotten in my ear. I think I'm going to say Reuben Bain, and I love him. But
T-Rex?
I cannot get over the fact, like, they're, what's the stat? It's like anyone that's been, like, there hasn't been an all-pro defensive lineman under, like, 35-inch arms, and he's at, what, 31.5?
Something like that, yeah.
Like, that's the reason why I'm picking Reuben Bain is for that, like, if you tell me that that exists for a reason, I can see it. With that being said, I watched Reuben Bain play a lot of football, and I was like, the guy can play.
Yeah. I saw him firsthand, and it was not fun.
I think then, if you ask me to go beyond that.
I have a couple.
So this will be my other one, and I'll hand it over to George.
How many of them are going to be drafted by the Jets?
I think we're about to get some stretch Armstrongs. People at offensive line.
Yeah.
That is exactly.
I think there's going to be a lot of people that, like, we need tackles, and I'm not sure how good
Monroe
these guys
Freeling.
Are.
off
guard. Well, it's like the Lions, it's like the worst kept secret in the NFL. The Lions are like, we're picking a tackle at 17. So I'll say, I think Caleb Downs is going to be an All-Pro. I think he's going to be. It kind of feels to me like in 5 years, be like, wait, why did this guy go 10th? Oh, because he was 5'11"? So I'm all in on Caleb Downs. The one that I'm like, are we so sure? Is Kenyan Sadiq. And I get it. He's a freakazoid. But do you want Sadiq, or would you rather a little bit later on for, you know, tight end 2, which is the kid from Vanderbilt?
Eli Stover.
Stowers. Yeah.
Stower.
So Sadiq's one of those guys where we're going to hear it, and the team who drafts him is like, this guy tests off the charts, all this and that. And then you look at the production, it's like, well, Max Clair is better than him, and he got drafted in the late second.
So having not...
He also ran a 4.39.
Well, no, but
end.
Like... I cannot recall, like, I felt like, I want to look at his numbers. I felt like he was the king of every time I watched Oregon as like a 20-point favorite, that's when my guy got his numbers. And I want to look up if indeed that's true, because I kind of do have whiffs of that guy looks the part more than is the part.
All right, so here were his biggest games. He had 4 catches for 60 yards against Oregon State. He did have 6 catches against Penn State in what was a big game at the time. Against Indiana, he had 2 catches for 21 yards. In the first round of the college football playoff, 2 catches, 19. Against Texas Tech, 4 for 22. Against Indiana, 5 for 29.
So here would be my argument. When I think about Kenyan Sadiq, I think about that Minnesota game where Minnesota didn't have the people to run with him. And like that's an 8-catch, 96-yard touchdown game. Like,
once again, this is a I fully understand that this is why I called it, this could age very poorly. I get the measurables, and I understand that he is a absolute freak of nature. Like, he is 6'3", 240, ran a 4.39 40. Everything about him is like, this dude could be the next elite tight end. But there's just part of me that says, sometimes those guys don't pan out.
Here's one thing I don't love.
Jeremiah Love?
No, I know. I've told you, my problem with this draft, and this isn't even buttering you up, my two favorite players are just two guys that are not positions of need. Like, that's kind of why I've also struggled to get into the draft. It's like, the guys that I like the most, and I'll say this, like, I loved Ashton Jeanty.
I did too.
I didn't love that the Raiders drafted him. Again, I didn't even wait on that, but like, y'all know Sadiq's drop rate this year?
Pretty high.
I imagine it's going to be high.
9. I don't like my pass catchers that don't catch passes.
I'm telling you, man, I think Stowers doesn't block. He's just a pure pass catching tight end, but I feel like somebody good is going to draft him mid to late second round, and he's going to be an instant impact type of tight end.
Obviously, the thing with Stowers will be is he really a tight end or is he a slow receiver? But he does catch the football, and he's good with it in his hands. Phrasing. I think the other thing is, and I'm sure now the market's dropped, I'm convinced Ty Simpson isn't going to the draft unless somebody's assured him that he's getting drafted.
Yeah, his numbers have been kind of interesting when you look at his over-under. So DraftKings is 24.5, juiced over. But for him to be a first-round pick is pretty big favorite. Now, I will say, our boy who ate the bananas with the peel on.
Will Levis.
Will Levis. He got invited, and he had to sit there with his lady friend. For
former girlfriend.
Yeah, no longer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about the banana thing. I just knew about the coffee thing.
Yeah, no, coffee with mayo is his cream. No, he would eat bananas with the peel on. Here would be my difference.
That's a red
Ty
flag.
Simpson, by the way, minus 200 to go in the first round.
I think there were football concerns for Will Levis. I think the concerns for Ty Simpson are simply experience. But in terms of watching him drop back, read the field, make the throws, there are fewer concerns there than with Levis. Although I didn't think Levis was necessarily a particular bad see the field guy. I thought he was a bad execution guy. Thought he threw a very uncatchable ball. That was always kind of how I see it. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's take a look at what Tim might be throwing on his card, whether or not it's Thursday or whether or not it's tonight. We'll talk about that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, we got three more games tonight in the National Basketball Association. Right now, currently, the Celtics, I'm seeing the consensus is 14.5. I see some 14s out there. I do not see anything lower. The Spurs, currently the consensus is an 11.5. I see a few 11s if you want to shop, but most everywhere is 11.5. That is slightly down from an open of 12. The Rockets are still a favorite tonight. They opened at 4.5. It's now currently around 5. I do see like Hard Rock's got a 4.5. Seems like most places have 5s. All right, so Tim, I was looking this morning, and favorites so far in the first round, we've had 11 games played. They're 7-4, both against the spread and straight up. So when favorites have won, they've covered. When underdogs have covered, they have won outright. If you looked at last year in the first round, through Monday, we'd only played 10 games, but it went the same way largely, which was 3-1 on Saturday, favorites won and covered, and then a favorite lost outright, and then on Sunday 3-1, a favorite lost outright, and then the difference though was there were only two games, the underdogs won outright on Monday night, so it was 6-4 straight up and ATS, where it's 7-4 with one additional game played, so it is trending in the same fashions. John Ewing's over at BetMGM also notes that double-digit favorites have been quite beneficial for Johnny Q Public. Betting favorites of, where did it go? Double-digit favorites are 43-22-1. That's a 66% ATS clip in the first round of the NBA playoffs, according to Bet Labs, over the last 10 years. They are also 3-0 this postseason. Celtics, as we mentioned, 14.5 tonight against the Sixers. The Spurs are 11.5 against the Blazers. Right now, according to Wager Talk, I'm showing 66% of bets have been made on Boston, 60% of money. I don't know if you have the FanDuel odds. 66% of bets, 60% of the money is on Boston. 64% of bets, 85% of money is on San Antonio tonight. And then 50% of bets and 64% of money is on the Rockets tonight. The Rockets, yes. The one lone road favorite.
Right. Rockets, if you're playing the perceived zigzag theory, they would be the spot here. But you got to pick your spots. We saw a couple of the old zigzaggers come home yesterday, Atlanta being one of them, Minnesota being another. But
and,
Toronto did not get there.
Closed at 9.5. If you bought it up, you might have bought a push.
Right. So just looking back at where these games were lined on Sunday, Boston closed around 13, destroyed Philly. Now we're getting a bit of an adjustment. No Joel Embiid. Celtics 14.5. Portland kind of interests me a little bit from a betting standpoint. If I were to get involved in one of these games, I guess I would look at Portland catching 12. There is a little bit of movement toward Portland here. You know, this closed around 12.5 or so for game one. It's now 11.5. And then I don't know what to do about Houston and LA because, man, did Houston not really impress me all that much. What's the status of Kevin Durant? Is he going to play? If he plays, is he going to be healthy? But are we going to expect Luke Kennard to go?
So my lean on that one was I would be fading the Lakers simply because I would like to know the math of how many teams, I believe it finished with 27 more shots for Houston. I'd like to know how many times that team loses. The problem is what we just explained is why none of us really believe in Houston.
Right.
They don't have a point guard, so they have a very clunky offense, and they're not particularly good shooters, and their only proven shot maker is sitting on the bench, and he's 38 years old, or 37.
We've seen over the years, especially in the playoffs, now a lot of this was dating back to the Cleveland days. Usually in game one, LeBron just kind of felt out the opposition. And
yep.
He would sometimes drop that game. Obviously, he did not do that in game one. Is there a thought where like, hey, man, we got game one. Let's go to Houston. We're 1-1. We're doing okay. So
I just don't think – I think if he were on the road
– But I think also – sorry to interrupt, but like I kind of like the way they're playing defensively. I think this is probably be a lower-scoring game. I don't trust Houston as a five-point favorite on the road. Like what have I seen from Houston that I should believe that they should cover a five-point spread on the road?
I think you just got to ask yourself, do you want to live dangerously? I mean, I will say this, though. The one thing about Kennard, if it were somebody else that was hitting all the shots, like I've watched Luke Kennard enough to know that like when he gets hot, he doesn't miss very often. And LeBron did take more of the running the offense and getting his guys shots. And like it wasn't like, oh, these were miraculous makes. Like, he did a great job of getting the ball to the open man and hitting shots. And it also wasn't like the Lakers made 30 threes. I think they finished with 10 makes, but I think they only took 21. I would just be in the prove you can shoot it again. But if you're sitting there telling me you don't really want to bet Houston and you don't want to bet the Lakers and you're just laying off, I would say that might be responsible.
Yeah, none of these games am I like chomping at the bit.
The one that I really do like the most, maybe this is confirmation bias, I thought the Portland game against San Antonio was closer.
Yeah, I like Portland a little bit in this spot.
The problem, though, is you run into this with Portland. It's kind of the same thing, which is they are not a great shooting team. Like, the Spurs were inviting Portland back into that game, but Portland just refused to hit a shot. Like, we saw this, as George pointed out on Wednesday's show last week, or maybe it was Thursday's show. Yeah, I think it was Thursday's show because it was the Wednesday night game. Like, if Denny doesn't go for 41, like, that was a 20-point game because he was the only person that could score for Portland.
Right.
And, like, they had chances all night. I do think Klingon and their inside presence, like, it's kind of funny to say, like, I thought they did a decent job on Wimby and what do you have, 35?
Yeah.
But, like, I did think at times they made it not easy on him. I'm trying to think. Okay, so Zigzag so far were 2-1, right? Part of me also thinks that, like, who, like, of these underdogs tonight, who's, like, actually feisty?
I mean, I guess the Lakers, they won game one.
Yeah, but I was more thinking of like, okay, teams that lost. Like, I think Philly's done.
I kind of think they're done, too.
The problem, though, with Boston is if Boston has a horrific shooting night, like, we've seen where Boston wins a series in five games, they lost game two by 20. Like, remember when the Heat went in and then everybody had the, oh, the Heat going to do it again?
Yeah.
No, no, they smoked them after that. Like, but they had a horrific shooting night that night, and Miami, I think, hit a franchise record for threes.
Right.
My instinct tells me, though, take Portland, and that's really, like, Portland, and then it's like if I have to play it at night, I would think I'd lay it with Houston, but, like, I'm not screaming at it. Is there anything Thursday night that you want to bet for sure?
Are you talking about the draft?
Yeah.
So I took a couple long shots. I'm trying to be a little bit more calculated. I've gotten smashed a couple of times prior. By the way, are you able to bet draft in Tennessee?
So I'm looking over at DraftKings, and like I don't know if we have the full buffet, but yes, we do have okay. Draft bets.
So a couple that I think are worth if you have BetMGM. Jacob Rodriguez to be a first-round pick is 5-1. I bet that. Put a little pizza money on that. Couple of reporters said that there's some.
What did you get it?
5-1, plus 500.
Okay. I see over at DK, it's plus 380.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have MGM in your state?
We did at one point. I'm not sure if we still do. Because right, remember how BetMGM kind of decided to back off certain markets?
Yeah. So that was one. I think, let me see what the price is. You've kind of talked me into it. NFC West, scrolling down. Oh, it's even money. Rams first player drafted wide receiver is even money. I certainly could see them going that route. And then the other one at DraftKings that I think is interesting is second cornerback selected. Chris Johnson is down to 2-1. Colton Hood is plus 250. I bet both of them, so I took my unit and split it in half. I'm buying this Jermod McCoy drop. I think there's a chance he might not go in the first round. And also, if you want to take a little nibble on under 3.5 cornerbacks, I got that at like plus 155. I think there's a chance. I think Schrager said that he wouldn't be surprised if only one corner went in the first round. I would be a little surprised, but I think Chris Johnson from San Diego State is going to be a first round pick.
Yeah, over at DK, Rams wide receiver is even money. What did you say you had it? Would you say even or minus 110?
Even money.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, my man, we appreciate you.
All right, I'll talk to you next week.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right. It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank,
I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
George, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Last week, Mitch Barnhart said that only knuckleheads would describe the former Kentucky athletic director's new gig at Kentucky as a golden parachute. However, the governor of the state of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, has weighed in. Quote, I'm losing confidence and growing increasingly concerned with the management and decision-making at the University of Kentucky. My concerns include the creation of a new $1 million job that has no defined duties and the announcement that the new dean of law was the only candidate not recommended by law school faculty. I've been told that despite previously saying the dean must be approved by the UK's Board of Trustees, the university has shifted and now states that approval is not needed. I worry that these actions are related to certain donors pushing partisan and undue outside influence onto the university. I hope the students, faculty, trustees, and the community attend this week's board meetings and ask the tough questions that should be answered. Of course, anytime a politician weighs in, it should, of course, always be noted. But I do think it's fair to say that there are more than just knuckleheads that would describe Mitch Barnhart's job as a golden parachute.
Is that a double dip, a tell your story today?
It's definitely, well, it's a tell your story in response to telling your story.
Yeah, it's a little double dipping.
Yeah, but oftentimes you'll see that in the world of tell your story where somebody latches on.
And then decides to tell their story.
Correct. Also, spoiler alert to somebody that might be getting like an $1 million retirement gig. Don't go out and like publicly say like this is a parachute gig. This isn't a parachute gig. Like,
you're just asking someone to look into
it. Just keep going about your day. just keep on going. And by the way, keep cashing that check.
Oh, yeah.
My thanks to Tim Murray for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey. Oh, and my thanks, of course, to Eric Hastein for joining us as well. This is Jeffrey Wright saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.